Give it up for all these ladies one more time. So we're going to get started. I'm going to start with Robin. One of the biggest enemies to rest that we've discovered is fear. And as I said before, you have this message because it's something that you have experienced and something that you have overcome. And so I think it's a testimony in your life of how to overcome fear. We'd love for you to share some keys, some things that you've discovered about how to overcome fear, how to walk in the peace of the Lord, even though circumstances or your experience may be in anxiety. How do you access that peace and that rest in the Lord?
Good morning. Definitely, there is no rest in fear. I can tell you that unequivocally. So first, I'd just like to define fear from my perspective and see if you relate to that. For me, fear, I lived with just this perceived threat of my future not being good. And I lived with that for many years. You would have not known it from the outside, because one thing fear does, it causes us to hide. So we're very much going to hide our fear. And the Lord knew if I was going to come out of hiding, that he had to do some things in my life. And so he gave me some keys to overcoming fear. And so for me, he had to change my perspective on a lot of things. And what I think was the most life-changing verse that it started out with, and he did it through me. For me, it was the Word of God. It was just seeing the scriptures like I'd never seen them before, and like Michelle said the other night, it just, some scriptures just bit me in the heart, and they were transforming. And so one of the key scriptures that the Lord gave me to start me on this perspective change was Romans 12:2 in the NLT, and it says, "Let God transform you by changing the way you think." So I had a lot of bad thinking in my life. So just to give you, because I don't know why, but I was giving this testimony recently, and the Lord just highlighted these keys in my life, and they all begin with the letter P. I don't know why. I don't know if he was being playful or if it's just the teacher in me. But the first thing the Lord did was, right off the bat, is give me clarity on my position in Christ. Yeah. That for me, I was a perfectionist. I wanted to get everything right, and that led to a lot of fear, because there's always one thing you lack, right, when you're trying to do it yourself, always. So the position in Christ, and he, one scripture just jumped off the page, and it settled it for me. And it's Paul talking, because, you know, he's bringing a message that was completely foreign to these people, and he says, "I am not ashamed of this gospel, because it is the power of God to bring salvation." So complete wholeness in every area of our life for all who believe. And then here was the kicker. He says, "Because in it a righteousness is revealed, a right standing." I was right with God because it was by faith, not because of anything I had done right, done wrong. I was fixed. I had a fixed position in the Lord. And that was a huge key in my life. And the second key that the Lord just highlighted to me, and I have to say, I had to practice that, speaking that and saying that and looking myself in the mirror. That was a very practical thing I had to, even though I understood it, I had to take time to just declare it. And that was the second key the Lord gave me, which was proclamation. There's a scripture that says, "You will declare a thing, and it will be established in you." So I began to just declare what the Lord had spoken over my life, much more than righteousness. He'd opened a lot of the scriptures in a lot of different ways to me. But proclamation, declaring, speaking was a key to overcoming fear in my life. And I just want to say, practice declaration when you're not in the midst of fear and anxiety and depression and all that. Because when you're in the midst of it, it's harder. It does not feel real. Your circumstances or what you're afraid of seems so overwhelming. So it was key that I practice speaking God's truth in the times when I was not experiencing fear at the moment. And then when the fear came, I began to see that those proclamations and the words, that the truth over my life were available. But the last key that I wanted, that I'm so excited about, was the Lord says that my posture, another P, could actually align with the truth. Because when we're fearful, the last thing we are is courageous and things like that. And the Lord showed me John 16:33, and he says, "My peace I leave with you, because Be of good courage. That word means courage and confidence. Some translations say good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And then in 1 John 5:5, it says, he who believes overcomes the world. So right there, I realized that that was my antidote to fear, that I was declared a courageous believer because of my belief in Jesus. So I began to take the posture of courage. Y'all, I would go in my closet and shoulders back, head up, arms in the air, and say, I am courageous. And so that has been a huge key in my life. So I would encourage you, our physical bodies can line up with everything that's going in our minds, our spirits too.
Thank you, Robin. Does anybody else want to jump in? Yes, please.
Excuse me. So I'm in a season right now where the Lord is developing how to be a better friend, how to be a good friend. It's just something we're walking through. So I'm curious, in that season of fear for you when you were going through that, were there people that spoke helpful things into your life? If so, what were those? And vice versa, were there people who said not so helpful things that were discouraging? So that, you know, because some of us may not be in a season of fear, but we might know people who are in seasons of fear. Like, how can we be a good friend? And what are some things we should probably avoid?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, the answer to the question was there's yes to both. There were people in my life, close people, well-meaning, loving people, that just had a worldly mindset about life. And, you know, they just would say, well, you know, just think about the worst case scenario and see if you can deal with it. To me, that just was terrible advice. That did not help my fear. So, no, that was not helpful. But I could say, as a friend, and that's key to coming out of hiding, to find someone in your life, a safe place. Yeah. And I can tell you, the people in this room are a safe place because of just the revelation of the goodness of God. And there's no judgment, no condemnation. But come out of hiding. Identify with somebody safe that you know is going to speak life and truth in your life. So it's key to come out of hiding. And it's one of the most difficult things that fearful people have to do.
It's good. Good. Sharp, go.
So I'm curious about the time frame from when you kind of got to that, I'm not going to live like this, to where you would say, I mean, obviously there's always more that the Lord's taking us into, but where you would say your feet were more solid in those three P's than they were in fear.
That's a great question. In fact, I had meant to mention that at the beginning. So there's no formula to this. It's not the way the Lord does it in my life. It's not going to be how he sets you free. It may be an instantaneous just breakthrough. For me, it was a process. I had to have a new perspective. I had to come into alignment in a lot of different ways. The time frame, honestly, for me, was a number of years. And I will tell you, there are invitations in my life to be in fear again. But I have those keys in my tool belt, or those tools in my tool belt.
I want to move on to Lindsay. You have also spoken about your struggle with anxiety in the past, I know, from this stage. And you also lead a team of millennials at work. And really, for the younger women in the room, I'd love your insight on some of the stresses that this generation faces as it relates to fear and anxiety, and some of the things that you have discovered in your own life, and some of the wisdom nuggets that you pass along to those that you lead about how to really overcome and combat those fears.
I think I just want to reiterate what Robin said, because I don't want that to get lost. It was such a key thing for my breakthrough through the season of anxiety was to talk to someone that I trusted. I waited way too long to do that because I was anxious about it. And there was fear there because it was, you know, I was afraid that people would think that I was fake, you know, because I'm leading and I'm doing and I'm speaking the truth, but I wasn't necessarily always experiencing that in my own life. But the minute I was able to open up to someone that I trusted, there's something about releasing it verbally that takes the power away. And there was things that was growing in the dark places of my life, you know, in the secrets that we hold on to so dearly, that it was like, that was immediate for me. I think almost immediately I felt a release the minute I spoke it out. For the millennials in the room, and maybe the, you know, non-so-millennials, I think, because I don't think it's necessarily age-specific, what I'm about to say, but I think that millennials more often than not, are maybe a little bit more susceptible to this. A trusted place is not social media. And I think often, yeah, let's just say la, let's just for a second. I think often we don't necessarily have, there's some of us in the room that might not have an issue opening up, but we're opening up in the wrong outlets. And social media is not a safe space to open up all the vulnerabilities of your life. I celebrate vulnerability. We have, you know, a writer in the room who obviously opens up pieces of her life, but she does so with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not saying don't ever necessarily get to a place where you publicize. I think it's better to wait to do that on social media and blogging from a place of victory, yeah. Not when you're in the middle of it. So when I say a trusted friend, I don't mean like the 900 trusted friends that you have. Just one. And honestly, I didn't have 15 people necessarily that I felt were, that I was in a relationship with where it would have been appropriate for me to open up to. There was just a few. And that's all it takes. And the Lord is faithful. In the seasons of my life, and usually when there's seasons when you're anxious, you feel most isolated, even if it's not necessarily the truth. So there was a part of me that needed to trust the Lord to bring people into my life that I could have that type of relationship with. Because it wasn't that there weren't people already there, but I needed my eyes to be open, because in the midst of anxiety, I was believing too many lies. And I felt very alone. So part of that was just saying, Lord, can you please just bring someone? And then he opened my eyes to people that were already there. So that's one thing, open up. The second, the practical thing that you can literally start implementing immediately was a practice of praise. There is something so powerful about praise. And I think in my own mind, when I started reading scriptures about praise, I was thinking like singing and dancing and worshiping, which is like so not me. But the Lord, because the Holy Spirit's so faithful to lead us and guide us in truth, opened my eyes even further to realize that praise can be a simple thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I began to just become thankful for the things in my daily life. And here's the thing, when the thanksgiving is present, fear and anxiety cannot exist, because you become so focused on the goodness of God, and that magnifies over anything else that you might be facing. And some days, guys, it was really hard, and which is like so embarrassing to admit, because I have a lot to be thankful for, but there's just something about that cloak of heaviness that can keep you so burdened down that you can't even see what's in front of you. But I began to just, I'm just thankful to be alive today. I'm just thankful that I have a house to live in. I'm just thankful, you know, it was like very simple stuff. And eventually that scope began to open up, and I was seeing things even within my own spirit, like the things that the Lord had called me to in my future, and I began to get deeper revelation of who I was in Christ. And so the Thanksgiving became super specific and super broad, but it started with just the little things. So that was something that really began to release that anxiety from my life really quickly.
So. Awesome. Anybody else want to add?
No, I just nailed it.
Yeah. Just
nailed
no questions.
It.
Perfect. Get it, girl. I want to move on to Beth. Just as I said before, the ministry that the Lord has used you in my life specifically, and I know in other women's lives here today, is in this arena of family and the wisdom and how to access his divine wisdom and his peace in the family arena. And so I'd love to just hear from you about, particularly in parenting as you mother. I'm a new mom. I realize there is a lot of fear that comes with being a mother. And there's a lot of, am I doing it right? Am I messing them up? Am I okay? Are they okay? And I think that that's such the longing to parent well is God-given, but the enemy uses that and distorts it into all the ways we're not doing it well. Yeah. And I think that's such a precious area of parenting. And it can be spiritual parenting, not just physical parenting, but I think how to be responsible and lead and raise up young women and young men to all the call that the Lord has on their lives. And so I'd just love to hear from you some tips on fearless parenting. What are some things that you've experienced from the Lord, how to access that as we walk this journey of motherhood?
Yeah, I was thinking actually, as everybody's talking, I wish I wasn't on this panel. I wish I was the one they were calling on the panel for the women who never dealt with fear and the how-to practicals where you don't ever deal with it. Like, darn it, I want to be on that panel. But I am on this panel because, and it's a joy to be on this panel because I have learned so much about specifically fear and anxiety or worry, you know, all those words we can use interchangeably through the years. And I think one thing really up front is that worry, sometimes there's a worldly thinking about mothering that worry is basically part of being a good mom. Like, a really good mom is going to worry. And actually, a sign of my love for my child is that I'm going to worry. And early on, I felt like the Lord just took a hammer to that and said, no, this is not how we're going to define motherhood. That's not part and parcel of being a mom. Yeah. And so I realized that, and this is something I feel like we all know, I can only give my children what I have, right?
Yeah.
So I realized that if I embraced worry or fear or anxiety, or maybe I didn't embrace it, but maybe I just kind of accepted it as this is it's kind of part of being a mom, that's what I would have to give them. And in the different scenarios, and it could be like a toddler who's having night terrors, or you're a little boy who comes home from school every day crying because nobody will play with him. I mean, that'll just tear up your mommy heart. Or it could be a horrible diagnosis or a full-out rebellion. I mean, it is what it is. But all of those scenarios, what my child needs is the peace of God, right? We know it, and we want to give it. And so one of the things I've learned is to pursue peace, like passionately pursue it, like as a parenting tool, as like a key to being a mom to my children and whatever's happening in their lives, is I want to be able to access peace. And I've realized that if I don't take my fears and anxieties to my Father God, then I'm going to end up taking my fears out on my children, right? It will work itself out. And I don't ever, I never want to parent from fear. So I think to me the real key has come down to two words, to share one like specific key for me. And that is, I can either choose to react or I can choose to respond.
Yes.
And it's like this, I won't be able to explain it, to communicate to you. It is like plate tectonic shifting difference for me. So I can either react to the situation, which is going to bring forth fear and anxiety, and really on the heels of fear and anxiety and worry, real fast comes shame, anger, disappointment, discouragement. I mean, it's all this ugly mix. You know, it's not a mocktail we want to drink. So when I react, I also, one of the things I've realized is I see that when I've done that, it shuts doors. Like options seem to get smaller, and it gets darker. It's sometimes you can even feel like, well, what's the answer? This is a tough situation we're dealing with. So my normal reaction would be fear, but there's this other way I've learned that I can rather respond to the Holy Spirit. And it is such a radical difference that I have learned to stop. And you know how sometimes you put your children in time out or time in? Some of you might be familiar with time in, where you bring your child close to you and say, it's just you and me. So I'm like, okay, it's time in, me and you, God. I'm gonna turn my back on that situation, so to speak. I'm not going to look there. You tell me, Lord, what you're doing and what you're saying. And I'm telling you, it changes everything. And yet sometimes it changes nothing all at the same time. Like, by that I mean sometimes the surface is the same. Like, matter of fact, sometimes it's getting worse. But when I respond, I the peace of God in me changes everything. Like, I'm so excited about it. I wish I could put it into words, the difference that's made. And so that's kind of my thing. I stop and say, I can react to this, or I can respond to you, Lord. And then when I do respond, there's always answers. I mean, he's so practical. Like, he will tell you how to parent. He will give you an answer, like a real practical answer in a real situation. Like, do this, don't do that. You know, you'll find a way forward. Doors open when I respond to the Lord. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. Anybody else want to jump in?
Yeah. Yes. I just want to encourage parents. There's a real authority that Beth is speaking about. There is a spiritual authority that you carry for your house. And I don't think that you can emphasize that enough. And even parents just being jealous to speak those kind of things out over their home and over their children. Like Robin spoke about practicing, you have the ability to practice and teach your kids how to practice proclaiming those truths over them. And they need you to teach them how to do that. I think the number one thing targeting the next generation that I have seen is isolation. And I think Lindsay spoke to that. And they are desperate. I think we're all desperate for something to hang on to, a truth that we can really hang on to in the midst of circumstances and lies coming out at us. And just an encouragement, if you have a child or if you are a mentor, a mother figure in someone else's life, just take up that authority and speak those truths over them. You can't say them too many times, even if they're rolling their eyes and they're like, I get it, you know. But they will, in the midst of their craziest day and their lowest point, they will remember that ridiculous phrase that you said to them every night or every day or the text that you would always send them. They need it. They're desperate for truth and consistency with truth. And the world is very quick to offer them, you know, shallow morsels, and it's not satisfying and it's not real, but they need truth to be spoken over them.
That's awesome.
Oh, sorry.
Go for it.
You know, one of the things the Holy Spirit brought to me just recently, just, you know, having some things that I had to bring to the Lord concerning my kids, and he said, Carlene, remember that all your days and all your kids' days have been written down long before you were knitted and your kids were knitted in the mother's womb. So I know everything. And so all you have to do is just rest in what I'm about to do. And what you're seeing, it may not look like anything is happening. And, you know, as Beth was talking, and she said, sometimes it doesn't seem like anything is happening, but yet there's a peace that she feels. And so sometimes it may seem like nothing is happening, but yet there's a peace that we feel, and that's okay. As long as we know that, you know, we brought it to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, He's there, He's at work, and He's changing circumstances. And so, you know, I just wanted to just bring that up because the Lord just brought that to me, that, you know, He knows what's happening, and He's taking care of the circumstance.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, I see that peace, as I've learned to access peace and be at peace even when the storm's around me, it's like a diffuser. As I access it, it does affect the atmosphere of our home. And people can walk into our home and sense the peace of the Lord and have no idea what all is going on, because peace can be, it is where we can live. And it's a beautiful, powerful parenting reality.
Yes, amen. I want to jump to Jenny. As yourself, a mother of three toddlers and also running a business, I want to start first with how you practice rest as you balance the demands on your time. I know as women in general, we are always multitasking, and something that is hard to do, we think about rest as stopping everything and resting, and that's not always possible in our day-to-day. And so how do we practice and balance this walking out of rest while we do all of the things that we have to do on a daily basis? And then I want to follow that question up with, are there any tips that you've discovered for teaching your kids about rest, young kids about rest? Because I think that will be also helpful for all of us to really glean from and understand, and also to implement in our families.
Thank you. I think one of the keys that my husband and I have found that really affects how we experience a lifestyle of rest, not moments of rest, is realigning our expectations with the promises of God. So let me give you an example. The other week, I'm sick. Two kids with ear infections, one kid with unexplained fevers. Husband's doing finals. He also works full-time, so he's busy and not around. I've got a major project deadline. I mean, like, the outlook for that week was not pretty, you know. My expectation based on what my eyes saw would be, this week's gonna stink. I just have to get through it. You know, like, you kind of start the day with a groan, like when your kid wakes you up at 5 a.m., you know, and you're like, really? Well, this is going to be, like, more than you think. This is going to be a great day. Like, you know, like, it's just, we set our expectations. And so often, my husband and I are on the phone at 8:30 or 9 in the morning when he's at work, and my day starts about like that. And we got to realign. We got to get back to what, like, what are the promises of God, and what is our expectation? I don't expect easy. I expect victory.
Yeah.
I know truth, and I have proven truth. I have testimonies. I have example after example after example of God breaking in for me. And not just big picture. I'm talking in the details. Yeah. In the moments when I need energy, in the moments I need a creativity for work when, like, my body is exhausted. In the moments that I need provision as I'm paying bills. And in those details, in those realities, I need God to show up, and he does. Every single time. So I expect God to give me everything I need for life and godliness, like it says in 2 Peter, because that's his promise. He's always faithful. He doesn't forget what he said to us. So I think realigning our expectations, I think they dictate how you experience something. One of the things that's helpful to remember, and I love this watching Beth's life with her kids, she knows how the story ends. Like, because God has spoken and made promises to us about our family, our kids, I know how this plays out. Like, I know the end of the story. So that's my promise. And so, God, how do I partner with you? What do I expect from you as we go from here to there? As we cross that lake when the storm rages, because Jesus is in the boat, we know we're getting to the other side. Yeah. So what does that look like? How do I adjust my attitude? I think expectations then dictates your attitude and your behavior. So for me, that's really helpful. I expect victory daily. I expect him to break through and provide those things that I need. And he really, really does. And so one of the things I would say with my children, every night we talk to them about who they are and whose they are. So my middle son, the word over his life is he is strong and courageous. He happens to be the one that sometimes gets fearful. But I speak truth to him every night. You are strong and courageous. And we have a lion in the room, and we look at that lion, and we say, what is that lion? He's a strong leader. You are a strong leader. That's your identity, because Jesus, what makes you strong? Declan says, Jesus makes me strong. And so just knowing who they are and whose they are, that identity teaching at a young age, I think is foundational to living in peace. You've got to be settled in truth to experience the fruit of that, which is a lifestyle of peace. I think that would be the...
Thank you. Anybody else want to jump in? We move on. Carlene, I want to move to you. Another enemy of rest that we've discovered is striving. And I think so often striving is rooted in a lie that we have to perform in order to earn rest or earn favor or earn love. I know that you run a community group in our church about renewing your mind. I'd love to hear your perspective on some keys that you've discovered, how we can renew our mind to align with heaven's perspective. Because I think, as Robin said, when we're aligned with heaven's perspective, there is a rest that comes. And we rest and we cease from our works and from our striving.
Yeah, I just love what you just shared, because it ties in so well with what the Lord has just been bringing us through here, and even in this class that we're doing on renewing the mind. And the truth is, it all begins with what we think of God, this God that we serve, how we view him. Because, you know, wrong believing is going to lead to wrong thinking and wrong living. And if we think this God that we serve is all about beating up on us and we're so fearful of him, then that's just going to send us down into the pit. And he's a God that's so good and so loving and so kind, and it is finished. Jesus came and he did it all. And so there's no need to strive, right? And we have the authority, we have power, and he's dwelling inside of us. And if we believe that, then that's where it all begins. That's where the transformation begins to take place. And that's where our expectation, like Jenny was talking about, becomes that we expect good things. And our mind begins to be renewed. And we begin to live that lifestyle where we expect that every day when we get up, we have the favor
of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is about doing good for us every single moment of our lives. It may not look that way, but we know that we are citizens of heaven now.
Yeah.
And so therefore we are saying, what is heaven saying about my situation? Mm-hmm. We don't look at the earthly perspective anymore. We say, okay, I'm living from heaven to earth.
Yeah.
My body is here, but my situation is based on what heaven is saying. And so whatever I said, okay, what is heaven saying about this circumstance? And that's what we're calling forth. And so that's what it's like to living in a place of rest. Because what I look at and say, okay, that's what it says here, but okay, Jesus, what is it up in heaven? And so that scripture that talks about binding on earth and binding, and you know, what is in heaven, that's what I'm releasing on earth. And if what's happening on earth, that's not up in heaven, then I'm gonna bind it here, because that's not allowed in heaven. Does that make sense to you? And if it's up in heaven, I'm going to release it here. Because that's what I'm calling for. And so the practical thing is, first of all, we have to know what our Heavenly Father says about who we are and what we are allowed.
Yeah.
It's the power and the authority that we have. And so we have to be in the Word. The number one thing is that we have to know what the Word says.
Yeah.
We have to constantly be in communion with Him. We have to constantly be in thankfulness to Him, like what Lindsay was talking about. Daily be thankful for the little things, not just the big things, the little things. Be thankful. And the testimonies, we have to remember the testimonies. If you can't think of a testimony of your own, steal someone. I tell them in the community group, if you think that you can't think about your own testimony, steal someone's testimony, because He's that good. Okay, or go to the Bible and talk about what He did for the Israelites. You know, but we should always be given a testimony. And those are the things that's going to continue to have us in that place of renewing our mind, reminding us of the goodness of the Lord and of His favor, and having us in that place to know whose we are, who He is for us, and to be in that place of rest at all the times.
I'm wondering if I can ask a question.
Please.
So, it's Monday morning. You wake up. Like, how, I know that it, how it works for you may not be the same as it works for me. But what do you do? Like, do you have things you've got written out, or, I mean, like, is there something that has been helpful to you in this, like, real life, normal day? But you're wanting to align your thinking about a situation.
Well, I get up. And I go before the Lord, and I just present it before Him. And I say, Lord, this is, sometimes I will say, Lord, how do you want me to pray about this situation?
That's good.
Because sometimes I honestly don't know how to pray about it, especially if it's overwhelmed me. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's overwhelmed me, and I feel like I've been praying about it, and I'm not seeing any change. I don't feel like I need to stop bringing it to Him. I feel like I still need to present it. But I feel like, okay, Holy Spirit, tell me what to pray now.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I may pray in tongues, because I don't know what to, you know, words, in my own words, what to pray. And sometimes I might say, okay, how do you want me to pray concerning this particular situation? Show me what's happening here. Show me what to pray, how to pray about this particular situation. Because sometimes the way we're praying, you know, He wants to channel our prayer in a different direction. And so it means just wait a bit, and He'll give guidance. And so that's how I kind of start my day, you know, in terms of just asking, seeking direction as to how to go about a particular circumstance.
One of the things practically is we, like, if the morning's looking rough, you know, we speak verbally. Our kids are in the same room. They can hear it. We declare this is a home of peace and not chaos. This is a home of health and not sickness. And so we declare what our truths are, and we set our expectations. We set our thinking on the promises, on, you know, on what we can expect from the Lord. But I think, you know, getting with someone, whether it's the, you know, your spouse in the home or with a good friend, Rob and I will call each other and we'll remind ourselves of what truth is and what we can expect from God and how can we can maintain that. It's almost like a stream below the surface. That is a place of settledness and peace. That is the source of our thinking, of our emotional responses. Mm. Keep that in line. Mm. And then what you see on the ground level, it submits, it comes from that, springs out from it. So getting with someone and calling on the phone or getting with your spouse and speaking over the situation, over your home, over people, this is a place of peace. We bring, the fragrance of our lives is peace. I mean, Jesus is in us, so everywhere we go, every situation we walk into, every awkward family dynamic we walk into, business dynamic we walk into, the fragrance of our life is peace. And so that's what we declare with our mouth, I think. Mm.
I want to share something just quickly, because I really felt this is something I felt that the Lord wanted me to encourage you all with today, to be deliberate and intentional every day when we get up, to say, today I am going to prove to someone who God is. Every single day when I leave my home, I am going to ask Holy Spirit to give me the opportunity to find someone that I'm going to prove who he is to. I'm going to prove the heart of the Father to. Don't know if it makes sense to you. Something I'm going to do, whether it be through praying for that person, loving on that person, through a text or whatever it is, I am going to prove to an individual. And don't necessarily choose another Christian person. Don't, in fact, try and get away from your Christian friends. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
Don't get away from your, don't, huh?
Don't tweet that. Stay away from your Christian friends.
But, no, I mean, I really felt impressed on my heart as I've been praying for refresh, the conference, and he just hit me with it again. Whatever you do, don't leave here today and not share this. That every single day when you leave your home, whatever you, or if you are stay at home, whatever you do, that's for me as well. Ask Holy Spirit to give you the opportunity or create it for ourselves that no matter what, let this day not end, Lord, that I not find somebody to share your heart, to love on in some way, if it's even to send a text to somebody and say, you are loved. Somebody, let them know the heart of the Father. Just wanted to share that.
I want to jump to Liesl, our last question. Many of the women here know about the pressure of professional demands, and many of us know the pressure of ministry demands, and you know both. And so I really want to, as Jenny mentioned earlier, this idea of a lifestyle of rest, not just moments of rest. And like I said before, we have to learn how to live in rest even while we balance the demands on our time and the callings and the work and the things that the Lord has put us and called us into. And so I just want to hear from your perspective about how you live out your rest as you deal with the demands of ministry and the demands of your career.
Well, two things I know we're kind of wrapping up. The first thing is radical trust in the Lord. And I think you have to come to a place, I know I've come to a place where I either radically trust the Lord with my life or I don't. And that comes down to, do I trust him with my heart for relationships? Do I trust him with my mind? Do I trust him with my gifting? And there's a fine line between, I have all this gifting, like I love teaching, like everything comes alive with me when I'm teaching. So I trust him with that. I trust him he's going to give me a job. I trust him that he's going to give me space and positioning in my career that I can thrive. I trust him with my heart. I trust him with my mind. But I have to come to that place of radical trust so that when chaos comes around me, a phrase that I have hung on to is, he has not brought me here to let me fail. And I believe radically that God is that good. And I really do trust him that when I get into my craziest days, and I've had very crazy days, that I feel like I'm juggling 1,000 things. And my weakness isn't fear. It's failure. I feel like if I fail at one thing, I failed at everything. And I have to get to a place that I trust the Lord, that He has given me everything I need in order to succeed. And if we can live in that reality of radical trust, God, You have put me here, which means that You have not led me here to fail, which means You will provide. And sometimes that's supernatural productivity. Sometimes that's ideas at the last second. I'm walking into a parent conference or a faculty meeting, or I'm sitting down with my curriculum or with youth ministry. I'm about to mentor somebody, and the Lord just gives me the key that I need. But it's trust. It's a partnership. And then the second thing is that it's not about me. And those go hand in hand. This is not my thing. The Lord is jealous for His glory to be put on display, and which means He will fight to let that happen. So when you're at your lowest point in the chaos of life, just realize this is not about me. Teaching is not about me. Ministry, youth ministry is not, it's not my thing. God has asked me to do it, and so I'm being obedient, but it's His thing, which means the pressure's on Him. You better come through. This was not my idea. And there's been many times where, you know, juggling all these things at one time, this was not my plan. You know, I would love to have one little job and just come to church and attend, and that would be awesome. But that's not what God's called me to do. He's called me to serve, and He's put me in different positions. And at the end of the day, my fail-safe is, God, this is on You. You've got to come through. And it's not about me. So I feel like the lifestyle piece, it comes through radical trust that He's going to come through at the end of the day. And then just a clarity that we are here to display His glory, and He will fight for that. He will not set you up to fail. He will not embarrass you, because that's not who He is. And so I know that even in the scariest things where I have to be super creative or innovative, or I need energy that I don't have, or productivity when I've run out of time, I know the Lord will provide, and I know He will come through. And I think testimonies are key for that, but it's that... This is not my thing. The Lord will fight for His glory, and I can trust Him. I can really honestly trust Him with my life.
Awesome, thank you. So we are gonna close. There are some girls who are gonna hand out some slips to your table. What we are gonna do is I'm gonna close in prayer, and then as you discuss amongst your table, there's a few prompts on that piece of paper. We have about a few minutes just to discuss them, so pick one, pick all if you can get to them. Really about something that resonated with you. What are some keys that you really felt like the Holy Spirit used for some of these ladies' stories that you can take home and implement in your life starting tomorrow? And so we'd love for you to get to know your tables a little bit better, but also really to just share. And hopefully something that your neighbor experience might really be something that applies to you as well. So we're going to take a few minutes. I'm going to close us in prayer right now, and then we're going to do that activity, and then Christine will lead us. Perfect. Wonderful. Well, let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much that there is a word that sustains the weary. Lord, we thank You that You have allowed us to know that word. We thank You that You make Your word available to us. Lord, You make the revelation, You make Your great help available to us. Lord, You are our great helper. And so for any of us in this room right now who are feeling burdened, who are feeling, whether they're bound by fear or anxiety or stress or worry or heaviness, Lord, I just thank You right now that You are the great helper, that You come alongside to lift those burdens and replace it with a light and easy yoke, as You say in Your word, Lord. And we thank You so much for the wisdom of these women up here. We thank You for the testimonies of their lives. We thank You that You, by testimony, You want to do it again in every woman that sits here in this room today, Lord. We have heard many testimonies this morning from these women, and we thank You that You are wanting to do that again in everyone's life. You want to provide healing. You want to provide rescue. You want to provide peace in the storm, a joy in the chaos, Lord. We thank You that Your Spirit is here this weekend to bring such a release and such a rest, and to lift every burden that we have come in this place with today. And so we thank You, Jesus, for the gifts that You've given us. We thank You for these women that share with us this morning. And we thank You for every daughter of Yours that sits in this room today. We thank You for the release of burden. We thank You for the release of peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.